Before we open God's word, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our merciful and gracious Father, who art in heaven, we give thee thanks for bringing us together yet again in thy house to worship thee and to praise thy holy name. We do, as we have sung, seek that greatest and highest treasure, that one thing that is needful, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We desire to uplift his and magnify his name, and that we would, in our hearts, be changed, that we would admire him in all his truth and beauty. We pray that thou would give us the right order and direction, that we would bring forth fruit unto thy praise and glory by the grace that thou dost offer us through our Savior. We pray that as thy word is opened in our midst, that thy Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, that thou would draw us close to thee, that we would feel, Lord, thy nearness, thy presence, and the goodness of the Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon, with the Lord's help, I desire that we would read together the last few verses of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, I'd like to read from verse 16 to the end. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May the Lord. This morning, the brother mentioned that Jesus is the truth and that he spoke with authority. When we hear that word authority, it elicits a response from each of us. And the brother explained that this idea of an authority to this flesh, that is a thought that does not appeal and is something that's often resisted. And so a response is elicited from that idea of authority. But I would suggest that that response to godly authority is because of a distortion, an incorrect understanding of what authority is. A godly authority that is declared to us through the gospel. So with the Lord's help, I desire that we would speak a little bit more about this topic of authority and godly authority, what the Word of God teaches, how we are to view it, and what sort of response should come from my heart when I hear the invitation to become under the authority of the Lord, and then to carry out what he has called me to have responsibility over. These verses that Jesus leaves, these parting words with the disciples, speak much about what godly authority includes. Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In godly authority, there is a right to direct and to lead. And God has that right. And Jesus is claiming that right, that all power had been given unto him in heaven and in earth. He has the right to direct, a right to speak, and to be heard and obeyed. And then he says, go ye therefore. The therefore is always there for a reason. It's connecting these ideas that he says before with the ones that come after. Because all power is given to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth, because of that truth, Jesus says to the disciples, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Another aspect of godly authority is the role to delegate and to extend some responsibility to someone else. We find that very useful because us, in our very limited capacity, we can't do everything. So we find it very useful to delegate responsibility to someone else and entrust someone and maybe give them an opportunity to develop skills and an opportunity to serve. For our Lord, this is a choice, because he can do all things, but he chooses to invite mankind into his work that he is doing. He chooses to invite mankind to declare the kingdom of God, to teach all nations, to go out and have a teaching that has this effect of immersing mankind in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. A teaching that envelops and covers and includes all aspects of our lives. Not just a little bit of teaching for Sunday and how you behave on Sunday, but that we would give him our whole hearts, that he would have our attention, and that we would serve him with all of our being. This is the kind of teaching that Jesus instructs his disciples to carry out. He says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Preach the word. Don't leave anything out. All the commands of Jesus, they are for our good and therefore our blessing. And the Lord is delegating that responsibility to man to carry it out, to pass it on, to share it with others, to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings the power, that is the power of salvation to everyone that believes. Even you, my friend, who are still outside the fold of Jesus Christ, the message still comes forth, and you're invited to be immersed. To be immersed in the order of God and his ways. To be cleansed, to be healed, and to be made whole. And then finally, Jesus concludes with this statement, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And here Jesus takes the time to explain something about godly authority that often is missing in the distorted versions of authority that the world presents. And that is the responsibility of those who are in authority to provide. Jesus says He has been given all power, and he's giving and delegating this responsibility. But then he says, and lo, That word lo means behold. Consider this. You've thought about all the power that belongs to our Lord, and you've thought about this responsibility that's been delegated. But pay attention to this. I am with you. I am by your side. And I am providing all that you are needing. This brings back the thoughts to the disciples of what Jesus said when he was explaining, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Without me, ye can do nothing. But abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. I am with you always. I will not leave you. Jesus, in his authority in our life, he is letting us know that he is committed to providing for his children. He promised that if we follow him like sheep, that no man would be able to pluck us out of his hand. And he tells and reassures the disciples, how far is he going to be with us? Is he going to be with us just when we gather on Sunday? And when things are going well, and there are other people reinforcing our godly thoughts? No, he's going to be with us, he says, even unto the end of the world. He's going to be with you and with me when our world is falling apart. When it seems that those things that we counted as stable, perhaps friends or family, fail us. When the systems and the things that we have come to know and to find as reliable, when they inevitably fail, Jesus never fails. And that is something that Jesus says, pay attention to this. Let your heart dwell on this last parting word, that I will be with you. This is the picture of godly authority, threefold: that he has the right to direct and to lead us, that he has the role to delegate and to instruct us, and that we would then carry those things out. But then he also takes very strongly that responsibility to provide for those who he's leading. This pattern are some of the essential parts of godly authority. Why is it important to understand? Why do you need to know? Well, we were designed with this in mind. When the Lord created, we heard of how he created all things with his word. He took a world that was inhabitable, that was without form and void, and he brought order and structure and made this earth a habitable place. And he set man in the midst of it. He provided all that was necessary to sustain his life. And he gave him instruction. Just like this great commission that we've read at the end of Matthew, the first commission that the first Adam received in Genesis chapter 1. And God said, he blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The Lord, who is over all, delegated authority and gave responsibility to man to be fruitful and to subdue the earth. And then he followed on, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. God provided. And Jesus reminds us that he provides. We even sing in a song, come, Follow me, the Lord is pleading. Come, I am the life, the way. I'll provide all that you are needing. Trust in me. Do not delay. That is his call. He has the authority to call and to invite you to a life of service and of humility and of following Jesus Christ. But he also has the promise that he will not leave us comfortless, but he will come to you. He'll provide what you're needing. So trust in him. Do not delay. That is the sort of framework, the sort of structure that is part of God's desire for us to relate to him through Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples, "You call me master." And that's right, because so I am. He's our master. He has authority. And what he says, we are to do. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say?" This is the pattern for when we say that souls who are outside the fold, or even for ourselves as believers, we are to pursue a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do we understand that the structure of that relationship is demonstrating godly authority? And if we have misconceptions about what that includes, we can say, no, authority? I've always thought of authority in the way that the world explains authority. The world has all kinds of different variations and flavors that vary from time to time. Sometimes they say, you don't need any authority. You can choose your own way. Do what's right in your own mind and whatever pleases you this week. That's one view of authority that's given by the world. But sometimes the world offers a view of authority that seems so contradictory. They talk about how much we need government and structure and order and somebody to control our lives. They present it in a way like we learned in school about the bandwagon, that everybody's doing this and you need to follow along, you need to toe the line. And one day that view of authority will culminate in a form of leadership that desires to have control over what you buy and what you sell and who you worship, and will take away the freedom from man. And that seems so different from the idea of, well, I can do what I want and I can be my own master. But the reality is these distorted views are one and the same, because there's one author behind them both. We know who the author of that very heavy-handed, top-down government that will cover the whole earth is. That's Satan himself. But do we realize that there's a puppet master behind every advertisement that you see that draws you in to make your own decisions, to neglect, to listen to people that are older than you, and to chart your own course? Yes, there's a puppet master behind those messages as well. It is Satan. Because he's distorting the idea of godly authority and replacing it with his counterfeit. And if you can get that embedded in your mind, you won't desire and seek the Lord and to follow him. And that would make his day. There's times when the world's message about authority is very strong and clearly visible, and easily recognizable. And we can do some things to prepare to avoid those sort of pitfalls. But there are other times when the winds of doctrine are blowing softly and pleasantly, and we don't notice them. I read some statistics about damage to property. And it said that tornadoes, which are a very powerful force of nature, cause about $300 million of damage to property every single year in the U.S. And people hear about it in the news, and they take notice, and they sit up. Whoa, what's going on? We need a plan. We need to get away from this. But then there's a quieter force. The termite. He eats away at the wood and the structure of the house. And termite damage causes $70 billion of property damage a year. But it's quiet. Nobody talks about it, and barely anyone notices. Now, why talk about these things? All of us will feed ourselves with some information, and perhaps even we've take opportunity to feed ourselves with entertainment. And there's certain forms of entertainment that we clearly see are wrong. We know to avoid violence. We know we're supposed to avoid pornography and filthy speaking. But even in things that would be called quote-unquote good entertainment, there is often a subtle and soft message that says, you don't need to listen to authority. Even it's wrapped up into the story. They might not even do this overtly. But it's wrapped up into the story about how the young person had to do something that was kind of against what their elders or parents wished. And they ended up solving a problem, and they get credit at the end. If you expose yourself to those sort of messages where the hero is promoted, but he's done so by disrespecting and disregarding authority, your idea of authority and the thought that gets incited in your mind when you hear that will begin to change. And just like those termites that from the inside, who quietly and subtly cause so much damage, we don't even notice it. And the inroads are made. So we need to be careful. Who is teaching us about godly authority? Who is teaching us? Who is putting together this structure of what it means to be a part under authority and in authority? We often learn. We learn from reading, we learn from the examples of the scripture, but we often learn from our life experiences of how this is supposed to work. And there's a story that is given in the New Testament that speaks of a centurion, an army captain, who made some experiences in his life that clearly defined what authority was supposed to mean. He was part of the Roman Legion. The Roman Legion was a place and a group of order. They were able to enforce a level of peace among the Mediterranean world for hundreds of years. Now, of course, they're not the example of godly authority, but in the centurion's experience, he knew what it meant to receive an order. And he knew what it meant to expect it to be carried out when he gave it. And there was accountability. And things worked. And there was a structure and there was a flow where things took place. They were executed according to the orders. He understood that. And then he heard about Jesus. And people are saying he's speaking with authority. And because of the centurion's experience about how that is supposed to work, it clicked in his mind and he knew, I know what that means. If Jesus is the one that's in authority, then he can do anything. And they sent the servants to ask Jesus to come to heal the centurion's servant. And the centurion knew because of his experience and what came to his mind when he thought of authority, he knew Jesus can do anything. And so it became a vehicle through which he could come to faith when he properly understood what this means. And Jesus even marveled at that faith and said, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. You seem to know and to understand who I am and what I'm capable of. And you put yourself in a position where you trust. When we understand God's authority and his power and his right to direct, and his role to delegate and his responsibility to provide and how he takes that so seriously, we'll be in a position where we can trust. And that's a good thing for us. Because we live in an uncertain world. Sin has come into this world and there's a measure of chaos and confusion. There's a measure of uncertainty. We need to know, when we hear all the voices, how do we put them in order? Who has authority? Who has the final say? Because otherwise, we are going to be disoriented. We're not going to know which way to go. I've experienced that. And going out to California and going in the water of the Pacific Ocean, I thought I could go into the waves. And I could go a little bit deeper. And I could tell that they were getting higher. And I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll just duck under this wave and I'll be just fine. And this wave won't have any effect on me. Well, I was completely wrong. I thought I could handle this power of nature. And I thought I could avoid it. Little did I know, when I ducked under, that wave just pulled me right up, turned me upside down. I could not tell which way was up until I was washed upon the shore again. And that's how life is. It's going to be disoriented. Is it disorienting? Because you think you can handle it on your own. And you're going to be looking. Which voice should I listen to? How can I know the will of God? Where do I find peace and rest and tranquility in my place in life? Well, know that God's voice and God's word, that is first and foremost. Then we have things upright. Then we know where to go. Then we know who to follow. And we're given direction. We're given a star that we can follow and chart our course in life. That we don't need to be meandering to and fro with whatever the popular thing is of the season. And we can travel sure. With hope. So the world has its different ways of teaching what authority is and putting the picture that the world wants to paint in our hearts and minds of what it means. But how do you learn about authority? Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And he told his disciples, pray, "Our Father." He could have chosen perhaps anything else, something grand, something marvelous, but he said, "Our Father." We've all need to understand what that means. Our Father, that's an experience that we have. Some have had fathers for a very short time and some for a longer time, but fathers are given a role and a responsibility by God to take responsibility for their homes and to give an answer for the output and what is coming out of our homes. And so we have a delegated responsibility by God to guide, to lead, to take the initiative, that God's commands and Jesus Christ's commands are the ones that are being followed in our home. We're given the role to delegate, and we lean heavily upon our helpmeet. We will provide opportunities to our children to take on responsibility so that they one day will take our place, and they can be well prepared for that. But the scripture teaches over and over, for anyone that is in a position of authority, that it is a place of service. It's a place of giving up your will and surrendering your life and serving and giving and pouring yourself out, just like Jesus has done for the church. That's the first place we're going to learn about authority. That's the first place and opportunity where even a baby that doesn't know any words will learn to know that when it cries, this is the place where I'm picked up. And when I'm hungry, this is the place where I'm fed. This is the place where I'm provided for. And that provides a great foundation of stability so that when they hear our instructions, they follow and obey. We need that. We need to be painting an accurate picture of who God is, the structure and the relationship that he wants us to have with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it begins in our homes. There's so much more we could speak of this topic. I trust that these words would be a calling to each of us, and for myself, actually, first, to take it to heart. What does it mean, and how do I fit into this plan of God? May God bless his word. Amen.
Truly, the world does have a distorted view of what true authority is and how God has laid out that authority. History is full over and over of this distortion of what authority is. It's my understanding that during the 1600s, more than half of the world's population was slaves. Truly a distortion of what authority is as God ordained it. The Lord Jesus says that he, as an authority, as one who would come to this earth, was one who served. And he says, it won't be among you as it is among the Gentiles. And he says, if you have authority, you are to serve. You are to serve. And that's what we are called to in this truth of what Jesus Christ has laid out here, that all power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. This is the authority with which the Lord has, and in giving and of serving of one another. May we yield ourselves to this truth, to this truth, and be servants, and not one who would reign or even desire to reign, but one who would be in service, remembering these words, these eternal and immortal words, that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, is how Jesus proclaimed. Amen.